what's true, what you believe or what I believe. And have you guys heard people say things like, there's no such thing as absolute truth. All truths are relative. You ever heard that?
That's a dumb statement.
Yeah. It's like, there's no such things, and usually they say it with a pounding of the fist, usually, like that kind of emphasizes the point. And what's really interesting to me is that the statement is itself an oxymoron. It contradicts itself because it's making an absolute statement that is saying that absolute truth cannot exist. Do you see what I'm saying? It's saying there's no such thing as an absolute truth. Well, what they're saying, what they're stating, is an absolute truth. Get it?
Yeah.
So it's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. Y'all have heard the story about the king who's watching his blind servants go up to an elephant and feel bit parts of the elephant. Y'all heard that story? I'm sure you have. Well, maybe not. The king is watching his servants who are blind go up to an elephant. One of them feels the tail, and he says, "Well, that's a rope." And then another one goes up to the trunk, and he says, "Oh, that's a snake." And he goes up to another part of the elephant, and he feels the leg, and he says, and they say, "Well, that's a tree trunk." And of course, none of them can see the whole elephant, so they're thinking that they're making a statement of truth, and that's because they can't see the whole thing, right? Well, are you getting the point of the story? Okay. Well, the deal is that the king who's watching this, the story is always told in order to make a point that there's no such thing as an absolute truth, that all there is are subjective truths by people who can't see the real truth, or that there is no real truth. But the thing that contradicts it is that the king who's telling the story has got sight, and so he's seeing the whole thing. So again, it's another oxymoron, which the story really not only contradicts itself, but it goes to support the opposite side, that there is such a thing as an absolute truth, or the king wouldn't be able to see the whole elephant. And if the king couldn't see the whole elephant, there wouldn't be a story to begin with, okay? I tend to think, and I don't know, how could I know? But I tend to think that there is such a thing as truths that are a capital T. I tend to think that we who can't see that are in the process of attempting to discover the truths with a capital T. And in the meantime, in the process, we have our truths with a small t as we are attempting to move forward and find the truths with a big T. Because it does seem, maybe I should look at my notes again. It does seem that we live in a world of absolutes that we have created, and the fact that we have created these truths out of our own personal beliefs, it doesn't mean that our truths with a small t aren't just as true and just as real to us. If, I may look on the ground and walking around with somebody, and I'll see a brick laying on the ground. And I'll go, "Well, wow, look at that orange brick." And the guy, sitting next to me, "That, you're wrong. I'm sorry, you're wrong. That brick is red." We can sit and argue until we both fall over of exhaustion and lack of breath, and we're not going to convince the other person what color it is. And if any of you have ever been on Facebook, you know exactly what I'm talking about. People will argue on Facebook, and it's the stupidest thing on earth. They argue about things that they're never going to convince the other person. They're wasting their time. they might as well say, oh, that's very nice, well, I'm glad you think that, have a nice day. But instead, it can really get kind of brutal every once in a while. Let's say it's the two of us standing there looking at the brick. Neither of us standing there is able to determine what the absolute color of the brick is. If there is such a thing as an absolute color of brick, I don't know, maybe there's no such thing as an absolute truth. But if there is, we're not going to convince, we can't tell it, because we're sitting there arguing. Hopefully, what we'd be able to do is to agree to disagree and move on. It seems that our beliefs and our opinions are pretty much like the color of the brick that's laying on the ground. It's really clear that we're unlikely to agree on our beliefs any more than the color of the brick. But those disagreements, they'd work out just fine. They'd work out great. If it weren't that somebody's going to pick up the brick who disagrees with it and smack the other person on the head with it because they can't see eye to eye. And that happens too often. You know, I see it on Facebook a lot too. And if that person wouldn't go so far as violence, what I see a lot of times is they will go so far as arguing and haranguing and screaming and yelling, because they're disagreeing so violently about wanting to have their way that they create just as much of a real rift in their communities, amongst their families, amongst their friends, that they might as well have picked up a brick and smacked somebody over the head. I don't know how many of you guys watch politics or deal with politics very much. Maybe I'm wrong, but what it appears to me is that what I'm seeing around the world is that elections are getting more and more and more razor thin. That they get so close to 50-50. And in our country, that's really true. I mean, we're getting, you know, presidential candidates will get out and fight and argue just to get that last 0.2%, because that may be what pushes them over the line. But the same thing is happening, I'm noticing, in other countries as well. I don't get it, but it makes me think that Bible prophecy that says, they will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother.
That'll never happen.
Unfortunately, I wish it wouldn't, but it is already. There's certain issues that are dividing families, and it gets really sad. So what are you going to do when you see predictions like this actually coming to pass? It seems to me that the divisions are very clearly rooted in fear. Seemingly simple issues, such as whether we should wear a mask or get vaccinated, they become so intense and so inflamed that they are dividing families and friends and communities, as if the issue itself were more important than the families and friendships and communities that are being destroyed by the argument. Seems like we've got everything flipped upside down. We're saying that the issue in the argument is more important than the people, rather than saying the people are more important than the argument. See, the personal belief is real. It seems to be a lot of times as real as a bullet, because people are dying as a result of these arguments. Certainly they become as real as an iron wedge that separates people. I'm not saying at all that beliefs are a problem, because I've got beliefs of my own that I hold very dear to. because I have a personal, what I consider to be a personal, real relationship with the individual person of Jesus, I consider him a brother, a confessor, a guide, a friend. Because of that, I'll call myself a Christian. And now, it seems that that term Christian has become so hot and so divisive due to the hateful intolerance of many people within the church that I feel sometimes that I need to withdraw from claiming that title. And that really hurts me. It really does. The cruel words and behavior of some, both within the church and those outside the church who can be very intolerant at times, it's tarnished that word that I had held to be really sacred. And now I oftentimes feel like I need to say, I'm a follower of Jesus instead of a Christian. Because I don't want to raise up those ugly, divisive images that I don't want to be associated with. And that's really sad. It really is sad. Don't tell me that beliefs are real. And sometimes they're all too real. Seems to me that there's got to be some universal core value that we as a human species can use to unify our individual personal beliefs. I mean, there's Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Buddhists, Christians, Shinto, pagan, Republicans, Democrats, anti-vax, vegans, liberals, conservatives. And it seems like the belief systems just go on and on and on, ad infinitum. And I fit squarely within some of those belief systems. So, is that okay?
Yeah,
I'd say it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, some people think it's not. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound tacky, but I was actually approached before saying I should relinquish my Christianity because it could be offensive to people within the Spiritual Light Center. I was actually told that. Can I hold firmly to what I believe and still respect what you believe, and vice versa? Can I be a liberal? This happened here in our little community not too long ago. Can I be a liberal and go out and really give my blessing to somebody who's going to the January 6th rally?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And you did too, if I remember right.
Fine.
Yeah. And he went. He never came back because he felt that he wouldn't be accepted.
His choice.
But that was his choice, but he didn't come back. Can I respect those who choose not to wear a mask? Even though I lost my place. No. Where's my place? Oh yeah, there I am. I found it. Can I respect those who don't wear a mask around me due to their own beliefs and take it upon myself to wear a more efficient one? Or even though if I do that, it's going to put me at risk, and it does. Or on the opposite side, can I choose to wear one even though I don't think it's necessary? And I do that for the respect of other people. That's possible too. You know, I just went home to Oklahoma. Every single one of my family members, 100% of them, all of them, are Republicans, conservative fundamentalists. So can I love my totally Republican family of origin while at the same time holding on to my own beliefs? Well, I went back and I did it. It was wonderful. And whenever I go back, it's terrific. We truly respect one another. It's great. But in some other families, it's not. And I'm going to ask you, don't give me that line, which pisses me off when I hear it, that says that we all should dump our personal beliefs because beliefs limit us and they retard our spiritual growth. That we should not have beliefs because those beliefs limit us and those beliefs retard our spiritual growth. I can't believe how many times I've heard that, and you know what? It's another freaking oxymoron. Because that itself is a belief. And they're trying to impose it on other people by saying we shouldn't have beliefs. Another oxymoron. Now hopefully, you know, we've all got beliefs. That's the bottom line. Hopefully, we can remain fluid with those beliefs and not hold them rigidly. So that we'll be able to grow spiritually and evolve. If I hang on to my beliefs really tightly, then I'm stuck. But we all have it. And hopefully they evolve and change as we do. And hopefully also I can open my heart enough so that I can love and honor and respect the beliefs of other people that are very different from my own. And one thing that I want to get across is that in no way is a compromise. If I love someone who has a totally different belief, I'm not compromising my own belief to do that. It doesn't dilute or weaken my belief at all, or in any way, when I respect another person whose beliefs are not like my own. What prevents me from respecting the faith and beliefs of another person is not the depth and sincerity of my own belief. I've heard that a bunch of times. Well, if you held on, if you were sincere and you were really deep in your own belief, then you wouldn't accept those beliefs from other people because they're different than yours. I used to hear that, you know, when I went to church a lot. I'll tell you what prevents me from respecting the beliefs of other people is my ego. That's precisely what it is. My ego fed by my fears. When I look on TV and I see a mob of people ranting and raving and screaming about against other people who have a contrary belief system, what I see is a collection of people whose intense ego is holding them captive, whose fear is preventing them from extending their respect and love to other people. That's what I see. And I try not to get angered by it, but I am saddened by it. If I fall into fear, then I'm going to fall into anger. And that anger is rooted in my own ego issues. Otherwise, I would extend love to everyone. That same love that I wish to be able to feel for every person on earth. It's not really beliefs that divide us. It's our ego and our fear under the guise of belief. And it's really important to get that straight. It's not our beliefs that divide us. It's our ego that is under the guise of a belief. You see people of two religions who are fighting and killing one another. It's not their belief that is causing the fighting and the killing. It's the ego that's causing it. And their belief system is being used to cover up the fact that it's the ego. It's real important to get that straight. I believe that there really is a human core that supersedes and unifies all of our individual personal beliefs. And that human core is love. Love never divides. Love can only unite. Even if someone's behavior is so terribly toxic that I feel required to set a boundary and separate myself from that person, I need to do that in love. It is love that doesn't fail. Love is the eternal bond that brings together all the diversive and disparate factions and opinions. If we come together at all, we will have to come together in love. That's the only thing that will bind us together. I don't want to simply tolerate those people that are different than me. I want to celebrate those differences and be grateful for the diversity. It makes our world a richer place and more interesting if we do that. Uniformity is boring. It really is. I don't like to be bored. It bores me to be bored. I like to travel. I like to immerse myself in the amazing diversity of cultures. That's what fascinates me. That's why I always go to these weird places when I travel. You know, I usually don't go to Europe because they're too much like me. I usually go to, you know, some weird island someplace, you know, off or Thailand or something. And another thing, that's why I like to travel alone. Always, I always travel alone. And the reason I do it is because if I'm in a group or if I'm amongst friends, I'm going to associate with those people around me. It's going to make me less likely to mesh myself with the people within that interesting culture. And that's what fascinates me, is to find love within that diverse community. I like to love. I love to love. And it means that reaching out to the, it means reaching out to the differences that are all around me. If you forgive the cliche, love means building a bridge to that which is other than me, rather than building a wall that's constructed by fear. I've got my own beliefs. They're very real, and they're the truths that I build my foundation. The beliefs that I have are my solid rock. They are the reality that I choose to create. To me, they're what is true, and they're what matters right now. Now that's going to change as I change and as I grow. Those truths are going to change. But right now, they're the solid rock that holds me up. But the other side of it is that I want to help people build their solid foundations on their truths as I have done with my own. And that's not a contradiction. It's not a compromise. That's love. I believe it's the only way that the world is going to survive and thrive. So let's let that.
Yay!
Yay!